What is wrong with you people?
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, Scott, 1 week until I leave to Florida, and I know it's not a big deal. I mean, it used to be I would just travel all over the country, and it was like, you know, we wouldn't even think about it. But maybe it's because the RV has sat idle so long and that I've been working on it since July. That it feels like a bigger deal. I mean, I really haven't even hardly driven it in a year. So I'm going to get it out in the next day or so and drive down the road. I've driven it down the road once, but just to make sure nothing falls off or rattles off or pulls to the right or something. But it's being put together. It's almost done. We're starting to clean it up now on the inside. My kids and I, we washed it yesterday and we're ready to go. So the exciting thing is that I get to take it off my plate and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Last week was a busy week. Remember, we were working on Kat and Josh's house, their new house, and taking out a wall and kitchen cabinets. And we got it all done and we moved them in on Sunday afternoon. And it is good.
Wow.
It is good. It was really amazing. We got so much done and it was fun having them all work together. And I'll tell you, my boys are better than me because I know that, you know, when you have a young family and you're working on your house stuff, it's hard to then want to work on somebody else's house stuff a couple nights in a row, but they did and they were good and it was fun.
That's awesome.
So man. Hope they don't move anytime soon. So how about you? How are things going down in Cincinnati?
Good. We had our fill of moving when my daughter and my son both moved in the same week. I'm
right. That,
but no, we're good.
How's a college boy doing?
Good. Math is he's in pre-calc, which is we're not math people in our house. Let's put it that way. But he's doing fine.
You're talking to a non-math person here.
But he's doing well and getting the help he needs and he's growing leaps and bounds, and they asked him to be a small group leader for his Bible study group or whatever. So
that's awesome.
And he's hoping to be an RA next year. So apparently he's just jumping right in and taking to college life like a fish to water. Mm. And we try not to sit home and cry. At least my wife does.
Exactly. Hey, when you coming home, son? Don't know when, Dad, but we'll have a good time then. Yeah, then they come home and they like throw the clothes in the laundry and they go visit their friends. You know?
Actually, he hasn't really, I mean, he's done a little bit of going to visit friends, but his laundry he does at school, which is awesome. I'm like loving that. They include that in the cost of room and board now, apparently. So.
Oh, really?
Wow. He doesn't have to take quarters.
I don't think I ever did my laundry in all the years I was in college. I mean, I don't remember doing it ever. I'm sure I did, but. Of course, I did. You know, I put my sheets on my bed when I moved in and I took them off when I moved out at the end of the year, you know, so.
Yikes.
It just didn't really matter tons to me. So. Well, hey, talking about kids, Scott, I had a couple emails this week. Actually, I had several great emails this week from dads who I had written last week at the Family Man Weekly about my son who told me I'm literally the worst dad ever.
That was awesome, by the way.
You know, and it was just kind of, and you've experienced those, haven't you, Scott, where
yeah.
Your son says, well, I think you're terrible. You know, yes. You know, I wish you were dead. And you know, it's not coming from anywhere except frustration and, you know, they're just reaching for something, hoping maybe to hurt you a little bit, but not too much. And so it wasn't hurtful to me. It didn't. I'm like, I didn't go to bed that night thinking I have failed. I'm literally the worst dad ever because I didn't think it was coming from his heart. And maybe I would have responded differently if I had. But it's amazing how many dads wrote me and said they're in the same spot. And some of the dads are having trouble getting over some of those words, you know, but they know they need to let them go because, you know, I don't know how many movies. I mean, there's probably a number. Someone could count them. How many movies there are where, you know, the dad and the son and somebody says some harsh words and he walks out and that's kind of the backstory, you know, and then they can't get past those. And then they finally kind of resolve them at the end. But it is a common thing. I was just struck by how many guys wrote me. And I'll tell you what they had in common is that every single one, no exceptions, they were all boys. I mean, they were all sons. No one wrote me and said, well, my daughter said this, you know, that it just doesn't seem to be either the same weight or the same deal. But dads, if that's you, you know, it's kind of common. But one of the dads wrote, and this is leading me to the topic at hand. One of the dads wrote and he said, you know, I think it was 20 something year old son, you know, he's gone through college. He's staying at home. And, you know, he's kind of taken up with this other guy who, and I'm going to butcher this. So nobody will ever know who this is. Even the dad listening will go, wow, that I never heard that before. Cause I'm going to ruin the story. But the son was kind of hanging out with another friend who, you know, the guy has a job. I don't know what he is, a trash hauler or something like that. And he's making, you know, decent money, but it doesn't involve lots of hours. And the son is thinking, this is great, you know, and the dad's like, you need to get a real job. You know, you can't be living off us anymore. And the dad's frustrated, like, should I kick him out and make him do his own thing? And, I feel like I've been taken advantage of, that I've paid for everything of his. And, you know, I'm hard at work every day and he's just goofing off till 11, you know, every morning. And then he goes in and does some work and he's having a good time. And I feel like I'm paying for it. What should I do kind of thing? Which I'm not going to answer that yet, but maybe we'll come back to that. And this leads us to a great email that John sent to Scott and I. And I just thought it was a great topic. But he said, howdy guys, I hear about it a lot. Never expected it to happen to me. Boomerang kids. Now I mean, just by the very term, you kind of know what it means, but I looked it up and I'll say that in a minute. It says, my youngest daughter has been married and on her own for 3 years. They found out they're having a baby and started looking for a new house. They started looking and found it a great time to sell a house, but a bad time to buy one. We all know that. So they're going to sell theirs and move in with us, save for down payment, and then buy when the housing market rates get back down to normal, toward normal. Do you have any advice for an empty nester who has had their kid coming back with a husband and a soon-to-be grandchild? And I told John we'd talk about it. So, John, we're talking about it. You know, and I know, again, the thoughts behind this, and Scott, kick in anytime you want. But even when I looked up the term, boomerang kid, again, I assume I knew what it was. You know, a boomerang is something you throw out and it comes back to you. But almost every time that boomerang kid is discussed, it's something negative. Like, you know, they're just like leeches. You know, they won't go away. I remember watching the Cosby Show when Bill Cosby was a good guy. And, you know, his older kids were living with him and he said, Claire, that was his wife, Claire, let's just leave them in the house and run away. You know, kind of like throwing bait to a shark and maybe they'll stay here and we can go start our lives somewhere. And of course he smiles and he walks fatherly up the stairs to deal with stuff. But, you know, I would say to you, John, from a dad who's experienced some of this, you are so blessed. You are blessed to have your daughter and her husband and your soon-to-be grandchild living with you. Because the truth is, it's not going to be forever. It's just going to be for a short period of time. And you will always look back on these years very fondly. And really, wouldn't you agree, Scott? I mean, that used to be the norm. Something has changed. I don't know when it started, but it used to be families just kind of stayed together. You know, I mean, they would have, you know, mom and dad would start their little house and then they'd have some kids and, you know, the kids would, maybe they'd partial. So whatever, partition. Cut off a piece of property and give it to them. And then they would stay there. And then when they got old, they'd move into one of their parents' house and they would kind of care for grandma and grandpa. And it was just like this family. But somewhere along the way, we were told, really, and probably by the society, the kids are supposed to move away because that's what normal kids do. And they should go away. And when you get old, you shouldn't be a burden to your kids. Somebody else will take care of, you know, you'll get nursing home insurance. So nobody has to take care of you except this. And kids don't want any of that responsibility. But I don't think it's always been that way. And I live in an area with a lot of Amish people. Do you have Amish people in Cincinnati, Scott?
Not that I know of. But we have plenty in Ohio. I've seen them before.
Yes, you do. You have lots in Ohio up north and maybe down south. I don't know. But, you know, that's kind of how they live. You know, they all live not communally, but in a community.
So you're advocating that we all turn Amish? Is that it?
Amish. I think we should be Amish. Yeah, I couldn't grow a beard, so I probably couldn't be Amish. No, I'm not advocating that. But I am saying to them that's normal. And I think the world likes to pull families apart. And I would look at this time as a blessing, not a bad thing. You know, and maybe because I've kind of gone through that. You know, we had one of our kids, Ike and Carolyn, they lived in their camper in my yard for several months. And then they lived in my barn, the family man barn in the upper part for several months. And then they moved across the street. So they didn't move very far away. Ben and Arissa and his wife, they live across the yard. You know, they live right next door. And I know some people have said, people even close to us have said, you know, what's wrong with your kids? You know, why don't they want to move away? And there's a little bit of that feeling of what is wrong with you people? You know, have you done something wrong that your kids don't want to leave? And honestly, from my perspective, it has been an amazing thing. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Is it harder than having your kids move to Timbuktu? It is harder. You know, when your kids move away, you talk on the phone, and if they have a problem, when they move, you don't have to work on their house, you know, unless you fly out there, which is, you know, that's a good thing to do. But, you know, they're not all over at your house a couple times a week having dinner. You're not involved in each other's lives as often. And, you know, it is easier, but it is so good. Even when we took our kids somewhere and I was thinking, man, this is a ton of money, you know, and they probably all expect me to pay it. Now they don't always expect me to. At least they play the game like they don't expect me to.
What's the age when you start expecting them to pay? That's what I want to know. There seems to be an age when I'm like the old guy and they make lots of more money than I've ever made. And, you know, I can just expect them to pay for me.
I don't know if it works that way, Scott.
I'm the freeloading parent here. I don't have problems with boomerang kids. They're going to have problems with boomerang dad.
Boomerang dad. We throw him in the nursing home and he just comes back.
You know? That's it.
It's me again, kids. Hey, are you going to eat all that? Yeah.
I don't know if I would say much different than what you've just said in terms of advice. I imagine it depends a little bit on the reason why they're moving back home. If it's because they just don't want to work and they want you to pay for everything, then that's a problem.
They're Game Boy.
Yeah. But when I think about it, first of all, I want my family to have that sort of culture that you're talking about where we love each other. That's why we homeschooled our kids is, you know, we wanted them to love each other and care about each other when they're, you know, when my wife and I are long gone and, you know, they still have each other to relate to. we've told our kids, you're going to be hopefully best friends with your siblings the rest right. of your lives. So, you know, that's the whole culture we've tried to set up in our family. And if they're living close by, awesome. You know, that would be great if they live with us for a little while. That's fine. You know, we don't have a whole lot of room here, but you know, hopefully one of these days we'll have a bigger house. And anyway, I think it's a lot better problem to have them, you know, where you're a little concerned about when they're going to move to their own place. That's a little better problem than having the situation where they probably could use your help, but there's no way on earth they're coming to you because they just could never envision a situation where they could tolerate being with you, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want that situation.
Or how about that situation, Scott, where maybe they've made a mistake and they're fearful of coming home, you know, because they know they're going to have a dad or a mom who's going to remind them of how they failed. And I just think, you know, home should be a haven, you know, in the storm. And sometimes kids do come home because they've failed, you know, because they've hit rock bottom. And, you know, it's not a hotel that they can come and go. You know, it's not just like free room and board. It is they're belonging to something, a family again. So, you know, I wouldn't have any problem of saying, hey, you know, these are your responsibilities while you're here. I'm going to need some help every once in a while. So you're going to be a part of the family, you know, or I don't know about John with his grown kids, but I would have no problem saying, hey, can you cut the grass? Because I can't do it today. I know my wife would say, Todd, don't ask them to do it. And I'm like, they're living in our house. They can do it. So I think they should be part of it. My big thing, and goes back to the other dad who was frustrated by his 21-year-old something son, is it gives us an opportunity to have influence in their lives. I know for this other dad, he wants to charge rent and he wants to kick him out if they don't toe the line and get a better job. And I know some dads who really look at the magic number of 18 as though that's the line where they jump the ship. You know, we're going to give them the plank. We're going to escort them to the edge. Hey, it's been a good run, but you're done now. You got to make it on your own. And honestly, I'm not sure that's a great way. There might be some kids who are ready for that. You know, could they be forced into being ready? Sure. Every kid can. I mean, there are 12-year-olds out on the street right now making it on their own because they have to. But is that the best? I don't think so. Because then you don't have influence anymore and somebody else has influence in your kid's life. So like I was talking, and Scott, maybe this is a harder one. To the other dad, I said, you know, I would still not push my son out of the home, you know, because bad things can happen in those situations. You know, is he bringing in income? Yes, that's what I want for my son. I have a 21-year-old son right now. He has a mowing business and he's busy almost every single day. When he's not mowing, he's working on his camper that he just painted yesterday and the few days before. So he's always busy, but he's coming into winter, you know, where he went out yesterday and he said, oh, the grass is just doesn't need to be cut today. And now he's a busy person. He gets stuff done. He contributes to our family. He works on all the other kids' homes all the time. And I know, but when he gets to winter, it's going to slow down a little bit. And we had a conversation 2 days ago, I think. I said, so what are you thinking about in the winter? I said, you know, I said, you're a hard worker. I know, but I just don't want you to have a lot of time, you know, where you're just hanging out. And he goes, yeah, I know, Dad. He goes, I've been thinking about this and this. And I know that when you're talking to your friends and they're like, oh, my kids are all in college right now. And they're all doing, you know, it's like a safe, maybe that's what college is all about. It's a safe place to grow up some more and still be independent. But I've never wanted to move my children out faster than they were ready to. Do I think it's okay to charge them rent? I definitely think it's okay to charge them rent. But I would want to know why you were doing it. Is it just because I was talking to this dad? I said, are you just charging rent because you're mad and you want to punish him, you know? Or do you want to kick him out because you're mad? I said, I wouldn't operate heavy machinery when you're mad. Maybe you charge them rent and you take that money and you put it in a savings account, or, you know, put it in a shoebox so that when he leaves or she leaves, you can give it right back to him and say, hey, here's the couple thousand bucks that you, now it's yours, you know. But I would, again, cherish those times that you have with those willing children. What do you do then? And Scott, you know, maybe you, I don't know, maybe you've seen others deal with this. What do you do when you know you're being taken advantage of? That might be a little harder one.
Yeah. I haven't dealt with that personally myself, but also one thought I had was just that I try and think about where I was when I was their age. Mm-hmm. And I mean, maybe you were perfect when you were 22.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't do anything wrong, you know? Yeah. And I've actually consoled myself a couple of times when I've not been doing as well as I wanted to and felt a little bit of criticism from some sort of parental person.
Authority.
Yes. Or non-parent, somebody else that, you know, just had an opinion. And I thought about, well, I know your life back when you were my age and you didn't have it all perfect. So, you know, maybe it's not the worst thing that I don't have everything perfect yet at 22 or 30 or whatever it is.
Figured out.
My point with that is, yeah, if I just, I want to operate from a standpoint of grace and mercy, right, with my kids, I'd always rather err on that side than on the side of being too harsh. I'm sure there are times when I probably should be more harsh, but oh well.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing because, you know, for the kid, you know, like these kids who are coming home to John's home, you know, there is that feeling of like, I mean, they're not super excited about it either. You know, not because they don't want to come home, because that sounds fun. I mean, it is fun. I mean, Christmas, whoa, you're going to have a great Christmas, John. And you're just going to have so much fun.
Maybe not if the baby's screaming in the middle of the night.
Even that. You won't care.
All right.
You won't care. It'll be exciting. You'll love it. And it'll rip your heart out when they finally move back out. It will, because it'll be over. But I know for the young people who are coming back to their parents, you know, it's hard to tell their friends, yeah, I'm moving back in with my parents. When we did the Kirk Cameron movie, the guy who did the filming, I think they had three or four. And he was saying that they lived in their parents' barn, you know, and I could tell he was kind of embarrassed that, like, you know, we're just trying to save up some money. And I'm like, hey, that sounds awesome to me. But, you know, so it's hard for them too. And I think for the adult child, you know, they want to have a life. You know, my 21-year-old son, he'd love to have a girl that he was about ready to be married to. He'd love to be, you know, doing something that was, you know, that he was busy every single day, you know. And we give him the grace, again, a haven, a home where you can, it's safe. You know, he doesn't have anything to prove to us, or he may feel like he has to prove to others, but he doesn't to us. Now,
so, I mean, if you try and fast forward in your mind, what is this going to look like 10 years from now? You could do the kick him out thing and make him, you know, pull himself up by his bootstraps and work it out. And 10 years from now, everything's going great. And he's doing, you know, he made it on his own and you're really proud of him. But he's far more independent, and that's, you know, that's cool. There could also be the 10 years from now where you let him stay with you and get back on his feet and figure things out and save some money so he's not neck deep in debt when he wants to have a home later, right, and whatever, you know. And maybe he has a really gracious, loving relationship with you 10 years down the road too. Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is it could go either way, and it's kind of a toss up. I still would just say go for the grace and mercy whenever you can.
Mm-hmm. It's teaching them too. I mean, really, you said, and maybe they'll be more independent. Is that what we want, Scott? Really? Is that what we want? Do we want our kids just to be independent? I think that we don't want them to be independent. We want them to be dependent on their future families as well. We want them to be dependent on God. And really, all that is just further training in that, because one day they're going to face the same situation with their child. and their child's going to want to come back. And they're, you know, what will they have learned? I think it's just a great opportunity. Now, there are some dads, you know, who have their kid, you know, who gets up at 12 and they're, you know, they turn on their television or turn on their video games and they play all day long. You know, that's a different situation, you know, especially they're 25 or whatever. I'm not even going to give a real answer to that. That's a different situation altogether. And I think, you know, we have to do something as parents to help them to grow, help them to step out, help them to be mature. And really, my dad always says, you want a parent with your children's best interest at mind. And I think that's true.
Yeah, this is why a book doesn't solve your problem as a parent.
Right.
Like, yes, there are lots of books and there are things that are helpful in some of those books. But this is why, to be honest, having a relationship with God is the most important thing you can do right. for your parenting.
And listen to this podcast.
Because when you can listen to God, you can ask him, hey, what should I do in this situation? And please lead me, Lord. And I mean, that would be my other advice is just pray a lot and try and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Because you don't want to kick a kid out when the Holy Spirit was saying, no, that's not what he needs.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Really, because God really rarely does that. There are times, I mean, even in a church, you know, you're to live with them, you're to be around them, you're to love them. But there is a point when they've crossed the line where you put them out for the destruction of the flesh, really, so that they might be saved, you know. And that's, again, a different situation. John, you're not worried about that. You know, the other dad who wrote, that's not what he's worried about. This is just kids who haven't figured it out yet. Adults, you know, who need some help and saving some money or just need a little respite in their time waiting for the market to change.
Well, and you could think about it too from that standpoint of how can I bless my children? Because I mean, I think back when I was newly married, you know, trying to figure things out, man, I don't wish I had lived with my parents for 10 years or 5 or 3 or whatever. But boy, it sure would have been nice to save up a down payment for a home, you know, or have done like some of your kids have done where they've been able to buy a home and fix it up. And, you know, I mean, it's not going neck deep into debt right away is just such a huge thing to me. I would help my kids with that if I could, you know.
Oh, we need to stop because, hey, I've got to go do homeschool PE right now. But John, again, you're blessed. You're blessed. It was a great question. And you're blessed to have your kids be coming home for a little while. And, you know, you're going to have to kind of figure it out. It's going to be hard in some areas. You know, you're going to that's the hard thing. They're like, we're going to be saving money so we can do that. And then you're going to see them spend money on things that you think, wow, shouldn't they be saving that instead? You know, how much do they have? So you're going to have to figure that out, but I would enjoy it because it's going to be an awesome time in your life. And when you're an old guy in a wheelchair, you know, eating red jello, you're going to look back at these times as some of your best. And your daughter is as well. And your grandchild, you know, oh, they may not ever remember living with grandma and grandpa. By the way, John, make sure you have a good grandpa name picked out. But, you know, you're going to be putting into their life in a very, very special way. And teaching them something super important that when their child needs to hang around for a little bit, they'll know just what to do. So, hey, Dad, thanks for the question. If you've got a question that you need some expert advice and the experts don't answer you, give it to us. You know,
yes,
we'll talk about it. I love it. I love it. I love being on this team, Dad. You know, I don't know who this guy is. I've got him in my calendar, Scott, actually. By the way, the UDAD daily calendar came up and was dropped off. And I've quoted this guy. He's a Twitterer. His name is Simon Holland, at Simon Holland. There it goes. But he's a dad, and he always has cool, but I just saw one today. It says, a rival dad mentioned he was up at 6 a.m. this morning. So I told him it must be nice to get to sleep in on a weekday, you know. But he had one yesterday where he's like, I'm at a pumpkin patch. Does $68 for a pumpkin seems like a good deal, you know? And just, again, it was just fun to hear a fellow dad kind of in the trenches, in the dad trenches. And we're all there. So thanks for being on the team, Dad. You know, keep hanging in there. Like Scott said, you know, keep asking God for wisdom and he will give it to you. Keep being gracious. Keep smiling. Keep hugging. Never give up, even when they say they hate you or when they walk away from you or they say you're literally the worst dad ever. We don't give up. And we don't give up because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at Scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.